is Halftime of the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show of the Playmakers that airs on WANM FM 90.5 every Saturday from 12:30 to 2. It's the one and only Jeffrey Hayden Jr. in the building, and today we have an eventful but also sad show. Start off with FAMU football, just recapping the season, sharing our thoughts on that season, as well as taking a bigger landscape of college football, talking about a lot of coaching changes, especially in the SEC, and always ended off with some NFL ball talk. But to help me with these amazing topics, I have some great guys in the studio. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
How you guys doing? It's Joshua Bounds representing the A50. How y'all doing today?
Yo, it's your boy Jay Scott telling you what's hot, what's not on WANM FM 90.5, the Flavor Station.
Yo, it's your boy Wes from the 904 Duval in the building, baby.
Yo, it's your boy DN.
What's going on? It's the kid from the 615. What's up? It's Austin.
You know, I would have thought Jeff would have did like a very dynamic intro, seeing as though it's a very special occasion, y'all.
Very special.
It is the Last Dance. I mean, like, we had a poster rollout and everything. We had the music going. You didn't see
it. Poster rollout.
We had a whole red carpet coming in for Jeff. We had, you know.
I don't know what he's talking about.
All right.
He got carried in here.
I'm trying to paint a picture here.
What happened?
He's describing the event. He's describing the momentous occasion.
He's not living up to.
It's regular. Just keep it normal to the
Humble
end.
Jefe.
Just keep it normal to the end.
Bro, he's in a Gucci tracksuit, bro. Like, this is crazy.
This is most definitely the FAMU win.
Nah, bro. He got on a full purple Gucci tracksuit with a Sacramento Kings hat right
he
now.
He is a Kane. You see this, bro?
You said I would say a comment, but I might offend somebody in this booth, so I'm not going to say anything. But Phil, let's talk about FAMU football.
Bro,
last game of the season.
On your shoes.
Okay. Last game of the season for FAMU as they lost to Mississippi Valley State, 35-31.
Yuck.
just what are the thoughts in the season off 5-7, 4-4 in swag play?
You know what, man? It's time for a change.
Man. You know, maybe true success in the SWAC was the friends we made along the way.
Man.
What friends did we make?
I don't know. It's been a long season.
So none.
I'm just glad it's over.
Look, I won't lie to you guys. This last game perfectly summed up how our football season has been. It's been a dumpster fire.
We gave them the first SWAC win.
Yeah. Nice,
I mean,
bro.
Kind of sort of ironic. We gave them their first SWAC win last year, and yep. Now we give them what, their second win at the end of the season?
Cozy just giving it out, bro.
He is. I mean, it's the same issues that we talked about, though. We're penalized the most because we're undisciplined. We're missing opportunities play-wise. I mean, it's just been a dumpster fire this season. It is just time to cut ties with Cozy and find a new head coach.
No, I know y'all seen that meme, Cozy getting left off the bus.
No, we've seen it.
Hey,
nah,
is that made by AI? That, somebody made that?
Whoever did that is just hey, man.
It's time.
That's not cool. But, I mean, honestly, I don't know. The expectation for this season wasn't obviously very high, but to underperform under that is still kind of shocking. Obviously, dropping the last game of the season to Valley of all teams. We said if we don't win any game this season, we cannot lose to Valley
twice.
We
didn't win Classic. You didn't beat Mississippi Valley State.
I said this throughout the episodes this season, is that Coach Colsey in the beginning of the season said that there's certain games that you can win, or so that you can't lose. Can't lose the home opener. You can't lose homecoming. You can't lose Classic. Somehow, the only one we won was homecoming. So, that being said, I don't think that on the financial and business side, it's right to cut ties with Coach Colsey right now. I still say he has one more year on his contract. Let him finish out the year, depending on how it goes. But now is the time to start looking in the market for these coaches. There's a lot of things going on with the coaching carousel right now, especially in college football. And there's going to be a lot of names that are going to pop in and out. But right now, you're at the position where if you're not going to make an immediate change within the next week, do not start looking to cut ties with the coach, because we were in the same predicament when Coach Simmons left, where we start too late in the coaching hire and then we get what's left. And not to disrespect Coach Coles in any way, because he was obviously a player's coach, but he wasn't the first choice. That's just common knowledge. So, you know, if you're going to make the decision, make it now. I don't think that it's wise to do so, but that's where I stand on it. Obviously, we got to, you know, regroup for next season.
You know, Coach Scott always has the best insight on this. But if we're being honest, it's just disappointing on all fronts. You know, we have talent. They didn't live up to their potential. Not necessarily their fault either. It's always been landing back on Coles. You know, we thought we had talent. You know, RJ Johnson actually overperformed for what we thought he was gonna do. If we look at the stats, so you know, it's time for a change. But like Coach Scott said, you know, it might be too late to start this year. We might be in for a bumpy road. You know, for the rest of the guys that are my age in the booth, you know, we might have an interesting senior year. It's for FAMU football.
My thing is like it can't realistically because the swag. Is still the swag. There are certain teams that are going to be extremely hard to beat, like your Alabama States, your Jackson States, and this FAMU who still kind of finished in the middle of the pack. It can't get any worse, per se, right?
Oh, it could get worse.
Right?
Because now we're not even an attractive place to play football. Would you want to come play here? We're losing seniors.
Yeah.
We need to recruit.
He's going to need to do a lot of work in the portal, especially if he wants to get guys that's going to start week one.
I mean, we get RJ Johnson back, right? So yeah. If he decides to stay. But yeah, so we get him back because he still has eligibility left. So we might have some continuity, you know, in the offense. You know, he's become more comfortable as the season's gone on. Don't know what the offense is going to look like because it was hot and cold this year, very hot and cold. But, you know, we have some continuity on that front, which might be a plus going into next year.
What is y'all grade, overall end of season grade?
We had a chance to be in the Celebration Bowl 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
I don't know about that. We had a chance to be in the Swag Championship.
You're right. My mistake. Swag Championship.
I definitely give it like a D plus. Mm-hmm.
That's generous.
Can't say it.
I can't say it because I mean, like, he's one.
It is an F. You lost to your rival and Mississippi Valley. Okay,
wait. He's one win away from being, you know, at 500. Yeah, and on top of that, we knew this going into the season. You weren't going to be Central. You weren't going to be Jackson, and you weren't going to be Alabama State. Now, Jackson, they had ample opportunities to win that game, but in terms of what he was able to do to turn around with RJ Johnson, I think that's worth a little bit of credit. Outside of that, there wasn't many bright spots for FAMU. I feel like a D is an accurate grade.
Anybody else?
I'm going to say D plus.
I give it a D.
You can't go too much lower because five wins is 5 wins. Throw some D's on it.
We could always be Southern.
Hopefully that doesn't change next year. Southern won their big rivalry game.
Yeah, Southern also won, like, what, 3 games this year?
And I'm sure with them winning the Bayou Classic that they're probably just as happy.
I don't know how Grambling dropped that.
They're probably just as happy with their season as we are now that they won that.
And getting a new head coach, too, Marshall Folk. That's crazy good. Hire.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That is unfortunate. But speaking of coaching carousel, let's go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off of Mr. Lane Kiffin. Going to LSU, 7-year deal, $13 million per year, up to $91 million. 25 at NIL. What are you guys' thoughts on just the whole drama behind it?
I mean,
my fault.
Who wants to start
go
first?
For it. Well, let's start in the other booth.
What up? It's your man, JB the King. We back here in the studio. This whole situation, man, is... it's kind of crazy. I've been doing my research, you know, listening to a lot of analysts talk, and everybody just mad at Lane Kiffin. You know what I'm saying? He's a horrible person. He's a snake. He goes to programs and burns it down, and, you know, now he's trying to take away coaches and players and stuff like that. And I completely agree, man. Like, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't going to be no positive spin. I think that just the whole situation going to a rival and then still trying to, I'm okay with him leaving. Like, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Players do it. Coaches do it. It's just what college football is at this point. But you still trying to coach the team, bro. Like, did you really think they was going to let you do that? Because you had to consider that when you made the decision. If you wanted to coach for them in the playoffs, stay with the team.
Well, I agree and I disagree because it's the state college football is in is like a transition state. They don't have the perfect, like, transition for
Let's blame the calendar. Let's blame the
it's
calendar.
It's really bad.
Because
the calendar is bad.
Why is the transfer portal open and why can't he switch to, like, he should be able to finish out the season and still take that job. Like, he shouldn't have to pick right now.
I agree.
It's a messed up situation to be in. And as much as I'm sure he wants to finish this season, I'm sure he wants to take this team to however far they go into the college football playoff, but LSU is a better spot to be at. I'd rather coach there too. And as much as it's annoying for him to have to, and as controversial it is to have to stop in the middle of the season, in the middle of a very successful season, it's like he's doing what's best for him.
But yeah, to piggyback off what you were saying though, Wes, I think the other big problem is the fact that the AD of Ole Miss was really pushing the issue because he was like, hey, look, you see, you're going to need to make your decision on the day of the Egg Bowl. I think that if he wasn't pushed, I think he would have stayed coached through the playoffs and then decided to go to LSU. And that is why I'm 50-50 about it. Like, yes, it is wrong that Kiffin did just leave the team up and like that. But at the same time, we can't act like there wasn't outside pressure. And at the same time, with him going to LSU, there are going to be a lot of good opportunities for him. We know that due to the caliber of coach he is, that he will be able to take this LSU team and honestly turn it around. And then at the same time, what we talk about with the NIL, he's definitely going to be able to bring in a whole lot of players. So it's going to be really interesting looking at how Lane Kiffin does with his tenure at LSU.
I do also want to add, what are y'all thoughts on when Lane Kiffin said, y'all get on this flight, y'all won't have a job? What's your thought on that?
Which leads to my point is that I disagree with a few things that you guys said here. I feel like Lane Kiffin, as much as we talk about him being, you know, a snake or not a good person or not being loyal, Lane Kiffin is doing what other coaches have done for decades, and that's getting you guys up to speed on the business side of college football. It is extremely cutthroat, it's ugly, and there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that you don't see.
Yeah.
What happens is, when you have a name like Lane Kiffin, you obviously have his past tied to what he's doing currently. So you have a lot of eyes on him, you have the cameras on him, you have the business side of it. But he's doing what any other head coach would do in that predicament.
Any other civilian would do.
Yeah,
100%. If I'm at a job right now and I'm getting towards the end of a project, I've started that project, I'm going to do my due diligence and try to finish that before taking the same people I did and try to rebuild the other location. That being said, I do feel like the athletic director for Ole Miss was in the right for saying, hey, listen, these are our players, this is our team right now, and if you want to be a part of that, this is a decision that you needed to make. And that's why I disagree that he actually needed that hard deadline, because outside of all the theatrics and business side of it, there's still deadlines to be met. There's a contract to be met. And when you're talking about businesses and payouts and stuff, now you're forfeiting the extra $1 million or so that was supposed to be on the back end of Kiffin's contract that LSU now has to recuperate. So you're talking about paperwork, you're talking about agents. You have to get this person paid. You have to get your coordinators in, your analysts in, who get the recruits open, because the transfer portal's open. All the business side of it is being exposed now to the general public, and people are saying, oh man, this is leaving a bad taste in their mouth. Oh, we can't trust Kiffin. This is college football. This is what it's about. This is what gets people going on Saturdays.
I agree.
I just, he's playing the game, and I don't know why people are upset by that, especially analysts that go on national television and act like they like people, like, no, like coaches man, have gone out and say terrible things about Lane Kiffin, like they wouldn't do the same thing. If you had the chance to go to a bigger, better program, why would you not? And then like to take his guys, like you take your guys. You have a staff, you want to take your guys.
Yeah,
that's
Lane
not crazy
Kiffin,
at all.
Lane Kiffin's always said when he first played against LSU, he was like, why wasn't it a night game? Like, he's always said he wants to be on the biggest stage. So when you get the top five job in the country, in the world, he's clearly going to say, yes, I don't care if you want 11 games, school history, program history, that's great. If LSU calling my phone, goodbye. I don't care about the money. It is LSU, because LSU is going to fund you. If you win, that whole city is behind you, the whole state.
LSU is the best job in the country right now, and I don't know why.
Y'all say that until it's year two when you have 8 wins and they're calling for your head still.
Yeah.
But that's the SEC.
It is the SEC, but he's already in the SEC.
We're going to transition into some other, you know, jobs open in the SEC, but y'all have to understand that Kiffin was giving them 9 to 10 win seasons to an Ole Miss team that hadn't been to the Western Conference division title or whatever it was for the past 8 seasons. LSU had just come off a national championship. They have arguably the last 3 years a top five recruiting class. There is more of a demand to win in Baton Rouge, and that's why you see him getting going as soon as he gets there. He's not even in a blazer.
He had a polo suit. He had a number
on the LSU website
in his office waiting on him.
He got a polo shirt on, purple. That man means business, and you know why? It's because in 2 years, if they're not seeing a return on the investment after all these cameras and stuff turn off, he will be out of a job again.
I will also add, a lot of people did go with him. Wide receiver coach went with him. The GM went with him.
Yeah.
Senior associate AD went with him. Head strength and conditioning coach went with him.
Oh, my goodness.
Offensive coordinator went with him. His brother went with him. Linebacker coach.
Yeah.
Baker staying on the defensive end.
So are you gonna stay where a job isn't secure? Because I guarantee you that the interim that they took on full time, he's going to bring in his staff, the guy that he wants. A guaranteed job, probably a pay bump off the $24 million that they're giving Kiffin. Hey, that's easy money.
Yeah, Blake Baker is supposed to be the defensive coach. He's still staying there. They're trying to keep Frank Wilson in some capacity just because.
I doubt he will.
Yeah.
No, he's keeping him.
Yeah, Kiffin.
You got to keep him.
Kiffin probably doesn't want too much of his Ole Miss defensive coaching staff coming down there with the LSU. They've been pretty bad for most of the year. But my thing about the whole situation is, like Jeff said, I mean, the AD kind of put him in a situation where he has no remaining loyalty to Ole Miss. He might as well just take everybody and everything who he wants to bring down to LSU with him. Yep. He's got the money to do it. He's got all the reason to do it now that they're not letting him coach in the bowl game. I mean, like folks said, the calendars, it's unfortunate. But at this point now, I mean, it's just both sides getting petty with each other. That's how I see it.
But what we should be talking about with this situation, not just killing Kiffin on every news station out, like you should be talking about the calendar. You should be talking about change to the
that's
calendar.
That's an issue for real.
As much as it's new, the transfer portal is new, the 12-team playoff is new, so we're finding out what causes problems. We should fix the problem. Like, mm-hmm. We should not be able to have coach changing in December. It shouldn't be able to happen, so this wouldn't happen to anyone else, so it wouldn't be a public issue like this. Everything should happen on, you know, January 21st, after everything's done. They need to have, like, a set, you know, a change in the schedule.
Unfortunately, though, Wes, I feel like with just how few regulations there are with pretty much everything going on in college athletics,
it'd be hard to enforce.
It is very hard to enforce. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening under the table, off the records, and, like...
Well, that's always been college football. I mean, everything's been under the table in college football. That's if they have a plan pre-January, that's fine, but nothing should be in stone.
But I mean,
he shouldn't be gone. The office shouldn't be empty.
Even still with the way things, I get what you're saying, Wes, but I'm just not sure that if you rearrange the calendar at this point with the systems that are in place that govern college football and college athletics in general, that LSU still isn't in Lane Kiffin's ear the entire time through the college football playoffs and pretty much has the contract worked out for him at this point, saying that he's going to coach LSU next year, that on, like you said, January 21st, it's probably just sitting there waiting for him to sign it.
Listen, man, the back room is going to be the back rooms. Like, when you're at that level, there's always going to be something the public doesn't know about. But, like, Lane Kiffin should not be on every front page of every website. He shouldn't be the only thing people are talking in December when the playoffs haven't happened yet. I don't think that's good for the sport, because a good team is now going to be not cohesive in the playoff because they're not going to have their coach. They're not going to have this. They're not going to have that.
Speaking of Ole Miss side, what's your guys' thoughts on Pete Golden being the head man now?
He's just the top guy who's still there.
Yeah. I mean, when you're thinking about, you know, other teams who are trying to poach your coaches, I try to keep what's you know, been best for my program right now. And I think that he keeps a large portion of who Ole Miss's identity is right now, especially with their current roster. His name has been tossed around in a few other head coaching positions, but if you're able to retain him, I think that makes for smoother sailing going into this season. That's one less thing you got to worry about.
Now going along to Florida. Mr. John Summerall from Tulane is going to Gainesville.
What you got? Billy Napier 2.0.
Yeah, I've been hearing that.
Explain the Billy Napier comparison.
Listen, when you're talking about a guy who has had medium to high success in a group of five capacity, he has the ability to recruit. He, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, I hope I'm wrong, honestly, because I don't like to see a coach change every 2 to 3 years. I don't think that he has the capacity to reach the unrealistic expectations that the University of Florida consistently has. The University of Florida is what we call a blue blood expectational program, meaning that off of the strength of their name, their logo, and everything else tradition-wise, they expect to be in the running for a championship every year.
Yeah.
Granted, mm-hmm. it's fair. They have the resources. They have the recruits. They have the, you know, prowess of being in the SEC, the money and everything. Florida is not in a state where they can just pop out an SEC championship right now. They're losing a tremendous amount of talents to the portal. They're losing a lot of key offensive pieces next year. And for them to want to remain consistent in the standards of getting 8-plus wins a season and being in the mix for an SEC championship, that has to be a consistency. 3 head coaches in 10 years isn't going to get you anywhere.
Personally, I think the other problem is with this hire. You didn't hire a coach who has been coaching in a tough conference like the SEC. You're bringing in an outsider to a big dog conference, if you will. It's the same problem that FSU has with bringing in Mike Norvell. When Norvell did at
Memphis,
thank you, team slipped my mind. What he did at Memphis was pretty good. But now you're putting him in a situation where he's with an ACC team, and we see how that's turned out for him.
Yeah, we see it. That's why I'm looking at this one
Jeff,
guy.
Jeff, why are you looking at me, man?
But yeah,
saying,
so
we see it.
I didn't hire him.
It's definitely going to be some... It might be some rough sailing for Florida. It's all 50-50, something there.
And to contend what you guys are saying, who would you have hired instead?
Try to get Lane Kiffin.
I mean, I'm gonna say the next Lane was never coming.
They did try. He was never coming.
So to bring to your point though, I don't think he was a bad hire. I think that he does fit what Florida wants to do offensively. He can recruit. The issue is he does not have the timetable to be successful, and that's the baseline.
That's a Florida problem, though. That's not a coach problem. That's an expectations problem.
Then no hire
would be good, because if you have an expectation problem, no hire is good.
That's literally what I'm saying, is that it didn't matter who they put in that position. Honestly, they're going into a position to fail if they don't win within 2 years.
Well, somebody's got
to
do it. You know, I don't hate the hire, man. I just hate Florida. You know,
I don't hate the hire. I just know the expectations of Florida. And again, it goes back to, I don't think that they should have got rid of Dan Mullen when they did.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not mad at that, Jalen, but I would just say this about Florida. At a place like Florida, when you're sitting there looking at a conference where you have teams like Missouri, who obviously they had a bad year this year, but it looked like they were once on the rise. You have teams like Vanderbilt, who's turned into a 10-win program. Even Lane Kiffin, what he did at Ole Miss, you should be able to rise in the SEC with the resources that Florida has pretty quickly. And obviously, I'm not saying that you need to be able to go toe-to-toe with Bama and Georgia every year, but to say that you're going to go into this job and fail, you know what I'm saying, just in the first 3 years off not having...
And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that failure, because I'm going to tell you what the boosters, especially Scott Strickland, the AD at Florida, because he's on the hot seat right now, I'm going to tell you what they see as failure. 7 wins... His second year, if he gets 7 wins, that's a failure.
Right.
First year off of them not making a bowl game in the last two years.
I don't think they'll give him that. I don't think that's unfair.
I think it is, because when you're talking about rebuilding a program to compete with all these NIL deals, and you're having a coach who doesn't have success, or not success, but experience coaching in the SEC, it's unrealistic to have a 10-win expectation, especially with the gauntlet of schedules that they've been playing too.
Yeah, no, I will say I'll give you that right there. But the Summerall dude, he's coming from Tulane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's built a college football playoff.
Absolutely, Tulane has been
borderline,
an excellent program.
Yeah, borderline program. So I mean, he could coach football. At the end of the day, like you said, Jalen, I think that the biggest thing has been able to. For Florida has been getting the highly ranked recruits to go out there and actually perform well. So I mean, to me, if he can recruit well and get them out there on the field and actually have them perform, like that's been my problem with Norvell too. He gets the guys who have produced other places, but they just don't come together.
And he gets them for 1 or 2 years. But this year, Summerall's gonna have to retain a lot of this talent too.
Indeed,
one of the key people I'm sitting down with the minute that I get there, Vernell Brown III. That's the future of your receiving core right there. Shout out VB3.
Moving along now to the White Plains, the last coaching hire, significant man. One at least. Alex Golish. This man, and his story is crazy.
Yeah, nah.
I want this guy to coach for me the way I heard about his story.
No facts.
Goes to the White Plains now at Auburn. What are our thoughts?
I like the hire, man. I'm a big fan of the hire.
Yeah.
I think he brings a lot of intensity that Auburn is definitely missing. I think these close games that they've been losing, because they really only lose by like one possession for the most part, I think with him there, they'll be able to pull that off. And I think they did best with what options that they had. And I think he's going to come in there and really instill that Auburn culture that's been missing for a couple years.
They'll be very explosive in offense. When he was the OC, they were the best offensive scoring team in the SEC.
Yeah, it's Tennessee.
All right, to clarify, this is the same type of hire, because it's a group of five school going to
an SEC school.
What's the difference between John Summerall and the Alex Golish hire?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought this up. The difference is that Auburn, when asked to compete for a national championship, has always played teams kind of close. The issue with Florida is Florida always has the expectation of a 10-win season, but they're getting blown out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Auburn plays teams very close. They have less of an expectation to win. In my opinion, their mix of resources with the less of expectation breeds for a better overall performance from their team outside of Florida.
Okay.
Florida has unrealistic expectations with all the materials in the world. Auburn has a similar amount of materials, less expectation. You can get an 8-win season. You can get a 7-win season, which has been able to build at USF. USF went from a 7-win team to a 9-win team. That's progress. That's what you would want to see in rebuilding a program. He doesn't have that time if he goes to Florida. I believe he gives you 3 to 4 years before people start to turn some heads at Auburn.
All right. So I like your answer. I think it makes sense. But to be clear, the only difference between the hires is Florida is delusional.
But yes.
I was just clarifying.
Absolutely. Just clarifying. Also, you want to add, Auburn's not going to have bad quarterback play with Arnold, Daniels, Knight, Peyton Thorne. Like the bad quarterback play is going to come to an end.
When he walks in. Biggest thing is that he needs to retain as much of that Auburn talent as possible because they have studs.
You said
roster.
Brown, the first person. I'm talking Cam Coleman. Hey, listen,
Cam
bro.
Cam Coleman.
You're not going nowhere.
Cam Coleman does seem like he wants to leave.
You said he's gone?
He's gone.
I feel like Cam Coleman's gone. But if he can keep Knight,
I was going to say Deuce Knight is the only reason why Cam Coleman will stay. And
no,
I think
no. I'm trapping him in a room. Mm-mm. Listen, you're not going nowhere. Y'all two are staying here.
Deuce Knight's gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
As I'm saying, both of them, you need to stay, and baby Julio, Cam Coleman, you're staying too, brother.
With the way that they use Brennan Brown at USF, he could be a stud in the SEC.
You talking about who, Brown?
No, Deuce Knight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was saying on Saturday, if they start Deuce Knight, I think we're gonna lose the game. Like, no, I'm being serious. Just because of how Auburn always plays us. And what I saw from, granted, it was against Mercer.
I was about to say, were we basing it off of the Mercer game?
Yes.
Hey, he was hooping.
Yes.
I don't know.
Deuce Knight.
He was hooping.
I mean, he played us.
He looked like Cam Newton out there. I said, whoa.
Anybody
this is
like Cam Newton against us. Come in here with a ridiculous hat and smack the crap out you.
But you know what I'm saying? Also knowing Cam Newton, I'd probably get a good chance to press him back. But I think Deuce Knight, he's going to be... He's going to go into next year kind of like DJ Lagway and Lenore Sellers went into this year. A lot of people are going to have him as their Heisman pick. I think he will actually be the one to kind of live up to the expectations and play that way. I mean, so as far as goal is, though, if you get him to stay and you get Cam Coleman to play, that's what I think honestly makes that job more appealing to me than the Florida job.
And I think DJ Durkins is staying as the DC.
If he stays, yeah.
I think that's what makes the job more appealing.
I believe he's staying as the DC.
Look, Auburn just needs to be smart. Honestly, setting up Golish in the best way possible. Because the thing that we got to give Auburn this year, Auburn's defense has been outstanding.
Yes.
Their defense has never been in question. It's mainly just been their offense that has given up on defense. I think with Golish coming in, I think he's going to get that offense in check. And like you guys said, if Auburn is able to retain their defensive coordinator, I think within the next 2-3 years, we could seriously be talking about Auburn being one of the powerhouses of the SEC once again.
You said how many years?
Two to three years.
That's not crazy.
There are a few plays away
this season. Hold on, no.
They were a fumble away from beating Alabama.
Exactly.
They were never beating Alabama that game.
They were not a fumble away from beating.
So that drive didn't look promising?
That did.
They tied the game, but Auburn was
going. No, they was going for two. They were going for two.
Hold on, we're getting off track. What I'm saying is that Auburn was a few plays throughout the season away from being a top contender in the SEC.
And that's for sure. I'll give you that. I mean, I'm looking at their...
What was it? 8 of those games they lost was less than 10 points?
Literally a one-possession game.
Yeah.
No. Most of them were one-possession games. Like, their defense has been doing
their
thing.
Yes, no. Good team for sure. But,
Vandy, one-point game, basically.
Oklahoma,
one-score game. Kentucky...
Kentucky was inexcusable. That was horrible.
That's a bad
they got
loss,
cheated
though.
Against Georgia.
Georgia, Texas A&M, Oklahoma.
Like, if a few more plays go their way, that's the beauty of college football, that any given team on any given Saturday, but a few more plays go their way, we're talking about Auburn right now, like, dang, man, you know, this could be a team to make some noise, possibly. I don't think they were winning the Iron Bowl, though, to credit.
They were not a fumble away from beating us, Jeff.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Come on, don't disrespect
the way that Alabama.
So you wasn't spooked
I'm always spooked when we play Auburn, but I'm
the way that Alabama was moving through Auburn's defense was like a knife through hot butter. That was bad. They held the ball in the fourth quarter for 7 minutes.
Yeah, bro.
That's half a quarter.
Still had a shot.
I'm with you, bro.
Yeah, they definitely have more promising future than Florida.
Now him,
which is what I like to see.
Him and Summerall are both on 6-year deals. They're making really similar contracts.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but I personally think
Summerall's
for one, Florida is in a really crappy financial place right now.
Well, the fact that
they're still playing Billy. They just got done paying Dan Mullen. And now you're talking, they have to see all 6 years of Summerall. I can't lie to you.
The fact that he really signed a contract that was heavily incentivized by making the playoffs just...
Oh, yeah. Give him 2 years and they're going to be in the same boat that Billy was in.
That man's not making the playoffs in the next 6 years.
No, I don't think so. I'd like to be wrong. I don't think so.
I don't like
Florida. I mean, you got to finish top 5 in the SEC to have a legitimate playoff shot?
Top 5, and then what was the second part of that sentence?
in the SEC.
Okay, cool. That's just it's a long shot.
Speaking about
well, how much longer is Vandy going to be good? Well, let's be honest. Do you think they're going
to? He keeps up with the recruiting classes like he has now.
If he flips that five-star quarterback on December 3rd, he got a shot.
Dude, Jared Curtis is not going to be like that in college. I promise you. I promise you he's not going to be that good in college. But, I know he has gotten some other guys, but that guy's, Jared Curtis is not going to be the guy. I promise you that.
We spoke about playoff contentions. One team had an amazing quote-unquote upset against their rival, Texas A&M, losing to Texas 17-27. What is the takeaway? I mean, I thought Texas A&M was going to handle business, keep everything calm.
If you knew ball, that was a terrible matchup.
Hey, Texas, hold on. That was a bad matchup.
Hey, if you guys mind if I take a leak in this?
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Look,
man,
if we're going to be honest with ourselves, I had Texas win that game the whole way through. And the reason why, no offense to Texas A&M, because they did look great this season, but if we really look at all the teams they played this year and how close a lot of these games were, especially that game against South Carolina, we know how Sarkisian is. Whenever it comes to the big games, Sarkisian's always going to have his boys ready to close out that game.
Yeah.
And that South Carolina game going down, 27-0 at halftime? You know that Sark was licking his chops because he knew. I know it sounds crazy, but listen, you knew that Sark was happy. Because Sark was like, oh, yeah, y'all going down 27-0 against South Carolina? Oh, you definitely know that when you step into our house, we are whooping you. And that's what they did.
Not only that, but you had they had the opportunity to open up the playbook. You got to call anything that you got in the arsenal to get out of a 27 deficit. So now you have film on you doing that. And Texas A&M, if you watched all season, has had trouble closing games. Marcel Reed is not great in the clutch whatsoever. And we saw that on Saturday.
And what did Sark do defensively? Sark knew the tendencies that Marcel Reed was going to do.
Put a bracket over his number one receiver.
Exactly. And that's why he threw two interceptions. Marcel Reed was not used to someone being prepared for him, and that's what happened.
Me and Josh just entered flow state. I don't know if y'all just caught that. That was crazy.
Did you just glaze yourself before you even finished the take?
I felt like it was appropriate.
You know what? It was a crazy game. It was a very defensive game. Marcel Reed threw two picks. We saw a game manager, Arch Manning, but you know, that's all they had to do to win that game. And as much as like we're what?
You just called
Arch game manager?
No, he is, but not that game.
He
had the X Factor takeover on that one.
He made 14 for 29 with one. I mean,
but he made plays with his legs though.
He did. Yeah.
That last touch, that 35-yard touchdown.
That was a good touchdown.
Boy, it was a
good one. But he's like wheels. It was crazy. Every time I see him take off, I'm like,
he invited the cookout.
Every time he takes off, I'm like, what's going on?
Last guy out, kind of lunch pail guy.
No, but point is, it's a defensive game. You know, Arch Manning was in the clutch. You know, he sealed the touchdown with that long run. I don't think it says much. I don't think it changes much. I think it just gives Texas, you know, a chance to get into the playoff. I don't think they will.
No, I don't either.
They
shouldn't.
It just adds a little blemish to that Texas A&M perfect season. But like, does it change that much for anyone? Texas A&M is still in the top five.
Yeah. And honestly, they're in a better position because now you don't have to worry about conference championship play. You have an extra week to rest. You have an extra week to watch film. You're a lock-in for the playoffs.
I still don't get how they're not in a conference championship because they have the best record of the season.
Well, record does not matter.
I know, but like, it just looks stupid. I understand it, but it looks dumb.
Yeah, I think this is the team that Texas, you know, strive to be all season. When they're able to run that ball, they're elite. And then Marcel Reed under pressure, if he's throwing if his feet aren't set, bro, it's a pick.
I think what you gotta take into account, Marcel Reed, he went out with the leg injury early in the game. Right. I think it lingered. He was able to play. He still had like almost 60 rushing yards, but I feel like just that having that base to throw the ball, especially when you're under pressure, out of the pocket, moving
against Texas.
I think that kind of bothered him like throughout the game. I don't think that's, you know what I'm saying, characteristic. Because, I mean, I feel like that's really when he does thrive, is when he's out of the pocket and under pressure.
I just feel like the past couple, especially the game against South Carolina, and then you look at this, it's just when he's not it just seems like sometimes he loses focus. And he starts, you know, like when a receiver drops the ball because he's looking down the field to make a play?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he often does things like that.
I really agree. I feel like he just airmailed some balls against South Carolina.
Yeah.
Just not reading the defense against Texas. But, you know, they're still a tough team to beat.
Definitely. I think they win a game.
What teams?
They win a game.
What teams are bad matchups for Texas A&M?
How far are they?
I think they're just top four teams.
How far are they going to drop?
The number one team in the country.
Outside the top four?
Yeah. Okay. Outside the top four, there's not many tough teams.
Top four? I'll be honest with you. Give me Notre Dame.
Hey, they losing to Oklahoma.
Oklahoma? Yeah.
They losing to Oklahoma.
Hold on.
Notre Dame?
Yes.
I don't like this. I don't like this.
I know it sounds crazy.
Break it down, brother, because you're losing me.
Let me
break it
down for
you real quick. You were just in flow state.
I know. Lost it quick.
Hey, I'm sorry. But look, we have to be honest about Notre Dame, right? We saw what Notre Dame was able to do in the second game of the year. Notre Dame always plays a tough schedule, right? First game, they lose to Miami.
Always? Hold on, brother. You're losing. You're on the flow state.
Can I at least say for the past two seasons, they've been playing. hold on. Can we at least say that for the past two seasons, they always open up with a tough 2-3 games. Is that fair to say?
They had a tough two games.
They lost to NIU in the third game of the season.
This is true. Last year was nuts. You're losing us.
Okay.
Keep going.
All right, look.
Or does it make it worse?
Reel it in.
Look, all I know is that...
Retract it.
When they played them this year... look, when Notre Dame went against Texas A&M...
Hold on,
second
brother.
Time
out. You said tough schedule, right? You said first four games.
Hey, bro, let him.
I'm looking at Miami,
off.
Ohio, Purdue, NIU, and then Texas A&M always first.
You right.
I don't see no tough game.
You right.
All right, Josh, this is why. This is why I'm not following.
but go ahead. Why you got Notre Dame? Why you got Notre Dame over them? Go ahead.
Look. Like I said, when they played the first time this year, right? It was only a one-score game.
Correct.
It was only by 1 point.
Yep.
If you're going to me, right, Notre Dame has really improved as season progressed. They took those two losses to the chin, and they've won out the rest of their games. Now,
nobody since then.
Really haven't.
I know what you're saying.
The only reason I think they should be in the college football playoff is for the 70 ball they put up on Syracuse, by the way. That's the only reason.
That doesn't say much. We can do that.
Look.
Well, that's
no.
But you can't count on Notre Dame. You can't count on Notre Dame because we saw what they did last year. Notre Dame did not have any Mickey Mouse wins in the playoffs last year. They took down Georgia. We saw them almost take down Ohio State.
Whoa. Yep. Almost. That's crazy.
Yeah, there was never close, but it wasn't a blowout. Yeah. Continue.
We can't act like they didn't play any true competition, though, in the playoffs last year.
Okay.
Can we agree that?
Sure.
And now this year going to the playoffs, now, of course, they're in the same predicament again. I still have them as my dark horse. And honestly, I could see them taking out Texas A&M.
No, the only way I can see it is if Jeremiah Love has the game of his life. You know,
it's a take for
the way you beat Texas A&M is exactly how Texas did it last night or last weekend. You know, you play some great defense and get Marcel Reed to make some mistakes. Outside of that, they haven't showed any weakness at all, you know, because the games they were in trouble with, Marcel Reed was having a tough time. He threw two picks against South Carolina, threw two picks against Texas. So, like, the only people I see being an issue for Texas A&M are in that top four because they have the best defenses.
Oklahoma gonna win that game if they play. Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, bro.
Oklahoma,
I think
nice.
So. You think Mateer's gonna show up?
So, yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma's a great defense, but Mateer also has to show up.
Before y'all say something, Wes used to love Mateer too.
He got injured to stop playing good, bro. He was my guy first like 4 or 5 weeks.
I was the same way. I ain't gonna lie.
I loved him because the way he used to throw the ball before he got hurt, I really liked his throwing motion. He's not good anymore. He's okay.
I don't know. I think
break it down.
I don't know. Oklahoma just seemed like the defense to stunt him for real. Like, we seen what Texas did. He, like you said, he got injured, so he couldn't really run much, but the passing was not there as well. Like, it just seems like the most solid defense with outside of the top four that's going to be able to handle him.
Yeah, that's basically my take, too. I just think their defense is phenomenal, and they've been able to overcome Mateer's mistakes, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But would they be able to overcome it against Texas A&M?
I mean, they beat Alabama, they beat Tennessee, they beat Missouri. Like, they almost beat Ole Miss. Like, outside of that Texas game, they haven't really had a bad loss, and John Mateer was crippled in that game. So, like, I look at them. If we're picking dark horse teams, that's definitely my dark horse.
I'm okay with that, but I don't know if I could say they would beat Texas, you know. I'd rather have them beating Ole Miss in a rematch, like, you know, and Texas Tech.
All right, let's talk about Ohio State.
Speaking about a good
game. What about them?
Ohio State. Best team in the nation.
After 2,000 days.
Best team in the nation.
Finally snapped their losing streak. Winning 27-9. JB, take it away.
Julian Sain is a Heisman. Just want to put that out there, bro. I think from him, the second play of the entire game on offense, for him to throw a pick, and it was a bad interception.
Bad pick.
It was rough. I was with my grandparents who are, you know, been seeing this for the past couple of years, and they're very pessimistic Cleveland fans, so Ohio fans, I guess. So I thought it was going to be rough, but our ability to bounce back, then that last drive that we had the ball for like 15 minutes or something like that. Like, it was the most impressive win we've had in a very, very long time, better than any win that we've had in national championship run. Like, it was something where it really sparked the change, and I am very proud of Ryan Day.
This is
very
prideful speech right now. Oh,
it is. It is. I haven't been able to talk to Ohio State since week one because we're so dominant. We don't talk about them anymore, so I'm going to take my time.
We
don't have to take your time. We get it. Y'all won all your games.
Yeah, we don't talk about y'all because y'all don't play anybody.
I don't care. Ryan Day was the most criticized man last year this time around for losing the game. He hasn't been able to beat Michigan, and he was able to keep his head high, and we were out there just win that game, bro. Just Ohio State is going to win it all again. I don't see any competition. We're going to beat Indiana by 21 points.
Stamp it.
I don't like that we just assume that JB doesn't stand on what he says. JB is a very private. Yeah. I mean, he's a Cleveland.
I'll be loud or wrong, bro. But
I just want to point out, it was hilarious. You just said, yeah, man, Julian State for Heisman. He opened the game by throwing a pick, and you know, I was like,
but then when you look at the other Heisman candidates, it's kind of like
this is a bad Heisman run, this bro. Like, who cares? No one is underwhelming.
I care.
It is, bro.
And honestly, I said it in our check out our content. Shout out to Ro. I said that the winner of the Heisman is going to come out of the Big Ten, and I think it's going to come out of the Big Ten championship. It is, in my opinion.
Yeah, that Mendoza. Might be the battle. I'm going to go Mendoza,
you say
too.
Mendoza?
I said Mendoza.
I mean, you can.
I don't think.
I mean, it's just not going to happen because Ohio State is going to win. Our defense is going to dominate Mendoza. Pause.
Yeah, I don't think Indiana's going to win this game, but I would take Mendoza for Heisman. I'm not going to lie. Because guess what did Saiyan do? You know?
Makes big throws.
Shoot, he performed.
Right, but like, he doesn't have a Heisman moment, you know what I'm saying? Because every team, they just kill. So who cares?
I could credit Saiyan's success to his receivers as well.
Absolutely, best receiving core in a long time.
But let's talk about you're a young quarterback, open and drive, throw a pick. If I'm saying my confidence is shot. I'm at Michigan. No. It's like how
his
he turned,
first time playing
how he
this
turned
game.
Around after the pick was insane. You got to give him credit on that.
Bro, they handed it off to Bo Jackson and he went crazy. What are we talking about?
Hey, shout out Bo Jackson.
Shout out Bo Jackson.
So when you belt all your competition, you have to be like, you have to have crazy stats. Like when Joe Burrow was killing everybody, he also threw for 5,000 yards. Julian Sand, he's going for 3, some alright numbers.
He got a cool
that's 2,000 less.
Look, basically,
cool
79 passing completion, bro, 30 and 5, touchdown interception ratio.
Bro, that's 2,000 less. That was
a cool
I'm just saying, though.
Like, it's not, a, it's not impressive
stats,
to me,
for
bro.
The I'm so just saying the only, and, bro, Mendoza's stats not that crazy either.
Yeah, but he's doing it with less help.
And
he doesn't have two first round receivers, bro. He doesn't have a great running back. He doesn't have a great his defense is pretty good. His defense is pretty good. But like he doesn't have Jeremiah Smith. He doesn't have Cardale Tate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sure.
The guy, your running back's name is Bo Jackson.
I mean, yeah.
what are we talking about, bro?
I mean, sure, but I just can't see how you're gonna. He's going to outplay him when we play.
Yeah. That's fine.
It's just going to be hard for you to pick him over saying when they lose the game and he's going to get outplayed.
Mm-hmm. I got Pavi over both.
I'm not mad at that.
Man, that boy, dude, that's fine, he played against UT.
To be honest, I honestly don't care about who gets the Heisman this year. Like last year was such a contentious race. Like, is it Travis Hunter? Is it Ashton Jenty? And
so,
this year, I do not care.
So let's go around the table. Who's our Heisman? Let's go around the
table. I picked Fernando Mendoza and Conte, so I'm going to stick with it.
I chose Mendoza.
Mendoza, three over here.
Pavia,
we knew that.
Pavia ain't going.
Saying.
Yeah. I said Mendoza in the vid.
I'm saying I'm sticking with saying.
Hey, bro.
Look, we'll see.
I could throw a go ball to Jeremiah Smith.
No, you couldn't.
I couldn't. I'm pretty sure he'd come down with it. Would he not come down with it?
He hit the meanest. He turned the go into a comeback route. It'd just be that underthrown.
Now, look.
That was crazy.
Of course, like we said. Big Ten championship game will definitely determine who the Heisman winner is. Yes. Now, of course, we already kind of sort of know what the keys to the game are. If Indiana wants to win that game, they got to figure out a way how to stop the running game and most definitely got to figure out how to slow down Jeremiah Smith, and Cardale Tate. If they're able to do that, then we know Ohio State is going
to
win.
And how do you do that?
To be honest, you really can't, bro.
Honestly, no. You can try
That's worse. That's worse.
What? You want to talk about do one-on-one? Who's going one-on-one with Jerry Kent?
There's three things in this world guaranteed. Death, taxes, and Jeremiah Smith always going to be open.
What I'm saying is you can't rely exclusively off of zone. You're going to ask Madden, you're going to get 50 put on you. But in terms of switching it up, I think that saying isn't very comfortable with seeing multiple defensive fronts at a time. I think if they switch up between a five-man front, get the linebackers involved, dropping him in the zone, getting the defensive backs in on some blitzes too, get a lot of pressure on Saiyan, allow Saiyan to make decisions. I feel like he hasn't been put in a position where he needs to make quick decisions. If he needs to go downfield, go through all of his reads, he's going to have his first read, I'm going to tell you, is going to be Jeremiah. Outside of that, they're going to try to run the ball. You slow the run game and allow Ohio State to have less time with the ball in their hands is the way that you beat Ohio State's offense. They are a very, I can't even say a big play, they are a very systematic offense. If they are not going to get a chunk play on 70 yards or a deep bomb or something, they are going to try to break you down, 15 play drive, 6 minutes, hold the ball for most of the quarter. That's a success for any offense. You can slow that down, you have a chance.
Moving along to championship weekend, we're going to start with the American Conference.
I get so aggravated with this conference because US, there's no reason that shouldn't have been playing, bro.
North Texas versus Tulane, American Conference. Who we?
Tulane, but who cares?
You know what? I'm going to go North Texas on this.
Ooh.
They both having good seasons, but yeah.
Honestly, are they letting bro coach?
Nah, Summerall's gone.
No.
He's not coaching?
Give me North Texas.
I'll still take the wave. Roll wave. Mm-mm.
North Texas all the way.
I don't really.
Bro, it's not who I wanted in this game, so why? It doesn't even. I don't care.
I'll go North Texas as well because I like their quarterback.
Yeah, North Texas.
Big 12, BYU, Texas Tech, rematch.
Texas Tech.
I don't expect BYU to get killed again, but it's hard to bounce back from getting belted. I think I'm going to take Texas Tech again.
Their defense is crazy.
Can't lie to you, it's hard to beat the same team twice.
It is hard.
I think I'm gonna go BYU on this one.
It is harder, but I got Texas Tech.
I just think it's gonna be
a closer game.
But. Give me BYU for the upset.
Okay.
Upset.
SEC. I just.
No one wanted to see this again.
They just can't beat them.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I hear what you guys are saying. I don't know. I think that Kirby Smart is gonna be smart about it this time. I think Smart is gonna leave the Bulldogs to win over Alabama.
He got a lot of confidence, boy.
I understand.
I'm bringing bro to the live show. He gotta come to the live show, bro.
Hey, look, I know that things have not looked the greatest for Georgia this year, but that's the only loss that Georgia has on their record. Yeah. If there's one thing about Kirby Smart, you know that he hates the fact that his only loss is against Alabama.
I'm sure he hated it the last three times that they played.
But listen, this is why I'm going with Georgia, so he can just be quiet.
Exactly. Man, give me Georgia over Alabama.
Give me them dogs.
For real?
Roll Tide.
It's Bama. Bama Blitz.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. You were just saying it's hard to beat the same team twice, but does that count with the SEC championship?
When it comes to this matchup specifically,
And I say this too. It's been a rough couple of weeks for us. We haven't looked our best last, 3 weeks? Really? Yeah. 4 weeks? Last month? But it's okay because when we got Lil Bro on our schedule.
And you see, this is exactly why I went Georgia. Bro. So you can't say this.
Like, hold on now.
They still want it, and that is more recently, y'all.
Hey, one thing Josh gonna do is hold you right there. Hold on now, Josh. Now, look, my biggest problem with Alabama this year has been, yes, Bernard has been popping off. My big problem is, where the heck has Ryan Williams been? If Ryan Williams is not going to be active,
his girlfriend got him.
Hey, his girlfriend got him. Look, I'm telling you right now, then Ryan Williams needs to tell his girl, I don't need you this weekend. I need to put you on the back burner so I can go cook. Because I've been sick and tired of Ryan Williams.
That's nice, bro.
Look, you ever told your girl,
go somewhere, I need to take a break for this weekend. Hey, this weekend, I need you to go do something else. I'm busy.
Hey, look, don't take it the wrong way. But that's been my biggest problem for Bama this year.
Read a book. I'm busy.
Nah. Joseph Sido, I mean, I was confident going into the Georgia game when we were, 1-1? Or we was, 2-1 or something after the FSU loss. So I'm
what
damn.
What a great game that was.
It was a great game. And now I'm saying we on a neutral site, you know, Atlanta, Alabama.
Okay.
I mean, bro, we own Atlanta.
Hey, keep that same energy, though. Keep that same energy when Georgia wins.
Bro, trust me, I will. All right. at the end of the day, I see it like this. I feel like we got the better weapons on offense. We got the better quarterback.
Got to use them, though.
We sure do. And I think we have just as good, if not, or actually, nah, I think we have a much better defense. We have better playmakers on our defense. Why are you making your face like that, Josh?
I mean, it all depends.
This isn't the old George defense, no.
That is not true. It's not the old George defense. I remember that for a second.
It's not the Philadelphia Eagles. And
our defense is lit. Yeah, I mean, I think we just have all around a better team. We just got to go out there and win.
Go Dogs.
Big Ten, Indiana, Ohio State.
Buckeyes.
Ohio State by 21.
Yeah, I got Ohio State by like Buckeyes. Four scores.
Give me Indiana by 3.
Ooh. You don't believe that. Tell me why. Go ahead.
We can't do this on every
game. So let him talk, though.
Hey, for me, I won't lie to you. In this sense, I like rooting for the underdog. Indiana this year has been looking great. Their defense has been looking solid. I think that this will be the year where Indiana finally shows that it was not a fluke that they made it to college football playoffs last year. Because let's be honest, they got belted by Notre Dame. And got bounced. I think they've learned a lot from last year. I think that this year they are ready to go ahead and take over the city.
Okay.
That's cool.
So as long as all the other playmakers disagree.
I rock with Mendoza.
Like I said, that was my Heisman pick. I rock with Mendoza, but I just don't see a world where they finish on top of.
They gonna go take over.
You know what, man?
Hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
If Curtis Sixon is one of that, he's got to go somewhere else, man. And I know he's not gonna. He's riding it out there. He's gonna have a bunch of successful seasons losing the Big Ten, but you know, it's not gonna happen.
Last game.
This is such a disgusting matchup.
The basketball conference.
This is such a disgusting
ACC
conference.
Duke versus
Notre Dame in
Virginia. Who do we have in the basketball conference?
Who's?
Virginia.
I ain't gonna lie. Virginia been balling lately.
Virginia, man.
Give me Duke.
I promise you,
FSU loss at Virginia isn't hate anymore, guys.
I'm not sure about much, but I'm for sure about this one thing. We don't care.
No, genuinely.
No, we don't care who wins this game.
If it was Clemson,
did they still get a bid to the playoff?
No, if somebody makes a grab,
does the ACC still get a bid to the playoff?
No, if Duke wins, ACC does not get a bid.
Possible matchup because now it doesn't seem like any ACC team outside of Miami will get into the playoffs.
I genuinely think
if Duke wins,
there might be two G5 teams.
If Duke wins, no ACC team gets in.
Long live GT.
Yeah, they needed to,
but. Don't they need 5 conference champions? Do they pick up the conference?
They're going to go to JMU. We're going to see JMU in a 12-team playoffs. This is so exciting.
I'm going to be completely honest. If someone makes a graphic, please, like, just put me in a I don't care. Like, create something else.
Love your own slides.
Yeah,
just
don't,
like,
bro. I don't care.
Hey, we got to put Austin next to Gerald's. Like, who's the home team? If you know, you know.
That was G, man. Shout out G. Moving on to the NFL. Last part of the show. Let's talk about the AFC North.
The show been moving fast.
The MEAC division.
All right. We got
the Ravens at 6-6.
Sure do.
Pittsburgh at 6-6. Then the Bengals 4-8. My question, you guys, is who is a real contender in AFC North?
It is the Ravens.
No, it's not.
Can they all just lose?
Who is it then, JB?
It's the Bengals, bro.
Yeah, I think the Bengals.
The Bengals are almost like mathematically eliminated, bro. They'd have to win out and have some crazy stuff happen to make the playoffs.
They might win out.
The question was who's going to make the playoffs.
If they beat the Bills, it's a contender. Pack your bags.
They're the best team in the AFC North.
No, they're not.
That defense is
their defense is awful, bro. You just watched one game on Thanksgiving and made a bad opinion.
But that defense held the Ravens to 14 points with a healthy Lamar Jackson.
Lamar's not healthy.
He's not healthy. You didn't watch the game.
With no Trey Hendrickson.
He was out there doing anything.
With no Trey Hendrickson.
He threw the ball to the ground and they called it a fumble. Hey, bro.
I don't know if he threw it to the ground.
I don't know, bro. I saw a Lamar outstanding edit the other day, and that's when I knew it was truly over. You got the gap plan.
You saw Lamar Jackson edit.
I was like, it's too soon.
He's just hurt, bro.
His legs hurt, bro.
I don't know. That edit was
bro, everyone's
stuff.
Forgetting the beginning of the season, bro. He just got hurt. Yeah, his legs hurt.
Yeah.
Y'all forgetting the Bills game where we had Q's team sweating up like 25 and then we blew it like the Ravens do.
And then after that, you went on a four-game losing streak and then went on another good
We put up 40 in like 4 games, every game we lost. If Lamar gets healthy, it's back to being a problem. And then the Bengals can't make the playoffs, so they can't be considered a contender. Bro, save that for next year.
Who are y'all going to beat if you make it to the playoffs?
That's the real question. You can beat a lot of teams.
No, you cannot.
Out of the AFC.
Bro, the AFC is a bunch of wannabe teams.
Not where y'all would be seeded. Okay,
time out. If y'all play the Chargers right now, because that's who y'all have slayed to play,
okay.
Y'all might win. Okay, great.
I take a lot of teams. After that, keep going. I'll tell you the teams I think the Ravens can beat. I'm so serious. I got to pull up the AFC playoff picture. Hold on.
I got it.
Oh, well,
Broncos.
Some teams.
Broncos.
No. Can't be.
Belt.
Nope.
Belt.
Not belt.
Patriots.
Nope.
Yeah.
Now you got a chance. You got a chance.
Absolutely.
You're not. In one playoff game against.
Hey, brother.
Yes, you got a chance.
You can definitely beat the Patriots.
You can beat the Patriots and you can beat the Patriots.
You can
beat the Colts.
The Jaguars. Yes, you can beat them.
Actually, y'all just lost to the Bengals. Y'all scored 14 on the Bengals defense. I'm not picking y'all against anybody.
Hey, bro. Lamar is hurt, and then Isaiah, we should have had 28 points. They called a pass interference on the weakest thing ever. He actually caught the ball. It was terrible. Isaiah Likely threw the ball out of the back of the end zone. They took 14 points off the board, bro. It was not that bad of a loss. Anyways,
Lamar had like 3 turnovers, bro.
I just don't.
Those were crazy turnovers.
I don't see a world.
But like, let's be honest.
Y'all get past after the wild. I just don't see a world.
I don't think we beat a lot of teams, but I think we beat a couple of teams that we don't beat. The Broncos, but a couple of those teams you mentioned, we could.
You're
definitely
not beating the Patriots.
You can, bro. We talked about this. They have beat a cookie cutter schedule, bro. We talked about it.
It can
Raiders.
Be cookie
they
cutter,
lost to the Raiders,
but they're handling.
They
business.
Lost to the Steelers. They beat
and
the
after
Dolphins.
That, and after that, name their win streak,
bro.
They haven't lost
look
since
at the
September.
Teams they beat. Look at the teams they beat.
They haven't
the
lost in September. Well,
we'll
the Buccaneers are a hospital.
We'll find out the 21st.
Ask Jalen, bro.
What?
Start.
Why
start
did
the,
I just get a
because you know the whole like, hospital. Like, you know the whole straight. Hospital, man. They're a hospital. They beat 2 good teams and was a hospital. They beat the Bengals, the Jets, bro, the Falcons, the Browns, the Titans, the Saints, the Panthers, the Dolphins. What are we talking about?
Y'all just lost to the Bengals, bro.
Exactly.
You can't be talking.
Exactly.
Y'all just lost to them.
But they haven't beat anybody.
So what's the original question?
Who is
the contender
in the AFC?
And it's
North.
Still the Ravens. You can't name any other team.
The answer is nobody. If we're just kidding.
Yeah, if we're being honest, the answer is nobody.
That's what I said. I hope they all lose. Answer like
this,
I don't
is,
feel
this
like
is
nobody
Browns.
This is the MEAC division.
This is what?
Like,
that's the SWAC. But the MEAC actually puts out one or two good teams.
No disrespect to South Carolina State. The SWAC. Excuse me.
There you go.
Listen, man, what's the toughest division of football 2 years ago, man?
You mean 2010?
Outstanding.
That sums up y'all division. Do,
girl, you knocked me out. I can't get copyrighted here.
That sums up y'all division, is that song.
Bro, we have an injured quarterback.
Shout out Miles Garrett.
For what?
That was such a random
shout. Yeah, like, for what?
For what?
He's not washed.
I know you gave a stray about
the
Patriots.
You saying Lamar is washed?
I know you gave a straight by the Patriots, but who's y'all front runner MVP?
Matthew Stafford. Not even close.
Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Not May? Even after
I don't know.
I
never liked the Drake May talk,
it's
man.
It's like,
I still feel like Stafford's the front runner, but I feel like Drake May can make some noise.
No, Drake May, I mean, he has the resume. He has the stats.
What about Cam?
He doesn't have the resume. I just told
you. What? You say he whispered that? No, y'all didn't pick that. Say it again.
If you say Cam Ward, I swear to God, cut his mic. I'm not doing this.
Hey, it's Brown.
I have thoughts on Cam Ward.
Hey, it's Browns Titans this weekend, bro. Sunday.
It's absolute cinema.
Cinema?
That's not a cinema, bro.
No,
that is a bad
cinema.
Game for
you
Cam
better
Ward.
Sit down and watch.
I guess JUCO products are going at it.
Miles Garrett is going to break the sack record against the Titans, man. He got like 8 sacks to go.
Probably will.
So y'all MVP is Matthew Stafford.
Not even close.
That's right. That's my MVP.
Yeah. Is there anybody else?
No.
Drake May.
Shador. Drake May. I'm just throwing names out here.
Yeah, I guess Stafford there.
No Drake May?
Didn't people have like Jonathan Taylor in those
Jonathan
talks
Taylor's
at one
going,
point?
It's because he
crazy.
Fell off a little bit.
Yeah, because in away games, he only averages 75 yards.
Right, he's on
75 yards a game. He's just ghost town.
He's stinking it up on my fantasy right now.
He got 11 points.
That's not good enough. I drafted you in the top 2 rounds for 20-plus points.
Literally.
Not 11.
Matthew Stafford threw for 11 more touchdowns than Drake May. They're about the same yards.
That's great, but what do you look like against Carolina this weekend?
Bro, that was...
It's one game.
He threw 2 picks.
He's throwing... Yeah.
He also threw 2
Carolina
touchdowns.
Carolina scares me so much.
It doesn't make
you guys
sense.
Might lose the...
No, we're genuine. Like, it doesn't make... Where do they get good out all of a sudden?
Bro, their defense
even,
is randomly
like
really
good.
They're just bipolar.
They're very big play oriented. They don't win that game without a weird Mike Jackson pick 6.
I just watched the struggle against the Cardinals, and I just bust into a cold sweat in the middle of the night, and it's like, oh, man, we're about to...
I believe I was on that Panthers trade early in the
year. You were.
Yeah.
was.
I'm telling you, bro.
We all was like, who win the division? He said, the Panthers? I said, are you serious? He said, yes.
Yeah, bro, their secondary is for real, man. Mike Jackson, J.C. Horn.
Shout out Thriller. Mm-hmm. Shout out to
them. They've been making plays for him. They picked off Brock Purdy a million times, Jeff.
But we won, right?
You sure did.
All right, then. The Bears are number one division, 9-3.
The number one team in the NFC.
Yeah, the number one team in the NFC, 9-3. I always said,
Was it two weeks ago?
Was it two weeks ago?
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago.
I wasn't a believer in Chicago.
Hey, that's that Caleb.
I wasn't a believer. I thought this team was very fraudulent.
Yeah, we talked about it on the live show. We were like, this had a kick schedule too.
Apologize. I'm not apologizing.
They just proved it to us against the Eagles. That's what they proved.
I'm not apologizing just yet. It's too early.
I'm not apologizing. They're 9-3.
It's early.
I think it's only fair if I speak being a Lions fan.
Oh, yikes.
Let me tell you something. As much as it hurts me, I am happy, though, because Ben Johnson went to this trash Bears team. He turned things around for them. He finally became a coach. Low-key.
Kyle Shanahan not coach of the year?
No.
Nah. Mike Vrabel not coach of the year?
I got a case for Kyle Shanahan. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, look, we knew that coming off college that Caleb Williams was a good quarterback. But because of the bad coach that he had, his play diminished because he didn't have a coach who could actually scheme around him. Now he has Ben Johnson. We're seeing Caleb Williams pop off now. And that is one of the most important things. The Bears have been missing a good quarterback for years now. Because what? Who do they have? Trubisky in the center? Trash. All the other people they had was trash. They finally got the quarterback that they've been looking for. The quarterback of the future. And now they have a good head coach in Ben Johnson. They're going places this year.
You know what, Josh? I agree with you, but also, you're not...
What, they're going places to the couch? Because they're not going to the NFC Championship game.
Wait, listen, hold on.
Where's the Bears' ceiling this season?
Don't say NFC Championship because you...
No, let him talk, Jeff. Don't scare him out of saying something crazy.
Hey, let's look at the playoffs.
Holistically,
they just beat the Eagles.
I say they're going to make it to the second round.
Oh, I thought it was...
No, I'm cool with the NFC Championship, to be honest. I need to see the bracket, but I don't mind that at all. They get a bye right now.
The Rams,
they lose their first
Philly
game.
Three,
they don't
Tampa
win a game.
Four.
I don't see them beating the Seahawks, Packers, or 49ers.
Exactly.
They can beat the Packers.
They can beat the Packers.
What we didn't mention about the Bears and what they've improved is they have an incredible run game.
Indeed.
And like Caleb Williams is under no pressure because their rushing is amazing. And they have, who is it, Swift?
Yeah, DeAndre Swift.
And man, he can't read a gap, but the gaps are so wide, he just takes off. Like, they have two very athletic backs.
I have never seen an offensive line turn around in a year.
I'm saying
that. Bro, they clear stuff out, bro. I need a no line like that. Derrick Henry be getting hit at behind the line of scrimmage.
We need
bro.
That at FAMU.
Well, we need a lot of things at FAMU.
Add it to the list.
We
bro.
Just added stuff to the wish list, bro. I want school paid for it too, man.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking?
Shoot.
But fellas,
no, I don't want the episode to end.
We're getting to my favorite part. Last time for me saying this, man, the best part of the show is the shout outs.
Man.
First and foremost, thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout out to my family. Shout out to the OG Playmakers, Ahmad Kibi, Brian Houghton, Deant, Malik. Am I missing anybody else?
Tia?
I am missing Tristan. Tristan, I love you, my brother. Tristan, just the OGs, man. Give me the keys. You know, before primetime, you know, Deant knows I was the water boy. I was in the back. They needed something. I had to go get it. They need the studio set up. I had to set it up on my own, man. Yeah, bro. I'm trying to get it. You know what I'm saying? So I had to be the water boy, respectfully. But I appreciate them so much. Just giving me the keys, taking this podcast to new heights we haven't even touched yet.
You gonna give anyone else the keys?
Man.
Well, it's not the time. It's not the time.
Go ahead.
But, shout out to all the Playmakers, man. Halftime of the Playmakers, the live show, primetime. Just, I appreciate y'all boys so much, man. It's sad that I got to go, but I got to go this time for real. You know, last time I left, it was just for a semester, but this time it's for good. I appreciate everybody just helping me along the way. I wouldn't be here without y'all. Just the success, the trust y'all have in me, man, I appreciate that a lot. That's all I gotta say.
Hey. It's so hard.
That was so sad.
I would just
say goodbye.
All right, now you can speak, Wes. Go ahead, bro. Do you know what?
Just first of all, shout out to God and my family and all those guys. But shout out to Jeff, El Jefe, Hollywood, NBA, ESPN, Unc, Boss Man.
Shout out Jeff. Shout out the Playmakers.
All right. Listen, I came in as a freshman. I always tell the story that I found the flyer to WANM on the bathroom and came in to audition. First person I ran to was Jeff. Jeff introduced me to Ahmad, introduced me to the Playmakers. And, you know, from then, I kind of seen where I wanted to go in college, what I wanted to do, who I wanted to surround myself with. So Jeff, man, I couldn't appreciate you more, both from a coworker perspective, the classmate, as a homeboy, arguing about ball, agreeing, everything that we've recorded, audio, video, editing, interviews, all the press conferences,
the
all
late the nights, above,
man. Late nights, early mornings at Appalachian Parkway doing the cross country runs, man. Again, I can't appreciate you enough. This has been a great opportunity to work with you and obviously continue the work that you guys are doing with the station. And proud of you, man. On to good things. We're going to celebrate you while you're still here. You still got about, what, a few more days. Love you, dog. Shout out God, man. Shout out Playmakers near and far. Shout out the family. And last one for the semester, man. Dang.
Hey, well, first and foremost, shout out to God for waking me up this morning, for starting me on my way. Shout out to my family for supporting me. Definitely shout out to Jeff because I remember last year, freshman year, just trying to get involved with the radio station. I was a shy kid, still a little shy now, but broke free of the shell. Jeff was like the first person that I saw when I went to a little gathering, talked to him. He made me want to come to the radio station. Best decision I made. So I do appreciate you, Jeff. Love all of you guys here. And yeah, I hope to continue this going.
Hey man, I want to start off by thanking God for all the opportunities and where I am right now in life. Shout out the homies. Shout out, you know, my brothers. Shout out Jeff, man. Hey, he already gave the whole spiel, man. OG Playmakers, you know, OG Halftime, you know. Hey, do y'all homework on that Who's Next.
Exactly.
Hey, do y'all homework on that bar interview, man. That's all Jeff right there, bro. Hey, man, we appreciate you, Jeff. We wish you the best on your future endeavors, bro. It's been an honor.
First of all, shout out to God, man. Prayers to the family, man. People getting a little bit old, so, you know, health declining. But, you know, we staying strong. Shout out to Jeff, man. You know, I auditioned for this freshman year. Didn't get it. Was overly depressed. But, you know, I came back here, and my first time on the Playmakers, I was overly nervous and, you know, wasn't speaking much. But Jeff always made sure to make sure that I get my point in, bro. Make sure, you know what I'm saying, I get my takeoff, bro. And that just ultimately made me more comfortable. I was listening to my first episode with the Playmakers on Halftime a couple days ago, and I said maybe like two sentences, and just over time, bro, just getting more comfortable, and that's just the environment that y'all have created, bro. So love to you, bro. You're gonna be big time. We're gonna see you on ESPN, all your endeavors, so for sure.
Start off, say it's been a blessing being back in here with y'all. I don't get to come on here as much anymore, but I love coming on here when I get a chance to. So obviously, I seen it was just last episode, so I had to come through. Shout out to the family, everybody listening out there. We appreciate y'all. And of course, gotta go to Jeff, bruh. I'm gonna give a longer spiel on the Playmakers Saturday, 12:32 p.m. But yeah, bro, Jeff, I've been tapped in with Jeff since even before I got to FAMU. Jeff's always looked out for me, so I'm more than appreciative for everything that he's done for me, bro. Shoot, bruh. I don't know. It don't even feel real saying, like, you know what I'm saying, Jeff, no, I'm not gonna facts. Be here anymore. Cause, like I said, bruh, Jeff, I've been tapped in with Jeff since before I got here. So it's gonna be real different around here, but. Everything that we have and everything we have going is kind of a reflection of the hard work and dedication that Jeff has put in and all the work that he's put in over his years here. So we appreciate him for that. And yeah, appreciate you, bro.
This is weirdly sad.
Nah, it is.
No cap.
You got to sign us off one more time, Cap, in the seat.
Man.
Oh, can I shout out one more person?
Go ahead.
Shout out LeBron.
That's
my fault. We got our own LeBron on the mic, man. That.
It just lightens the room a little bit.
Hats on the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.